Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Coal stockpiles in the United States reached a 25-year end high last year because of declining domestic demand and cheap natural gas. JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, and other major banks are no longer financing the coal industry. Tim Poles, an equity analyst at Morningstar, told CNN that the coal industry is in decline and that is what is driving this. He did say if there was money to be made, these banks would still be lending to the industry. The coal-producing state Utah is forging ahead to ensure its coal reaches foreign markets. Utah Governor Gary Herbert recently signed a bill that approves $53 million in public funds to help construct a coal export terminal on a decommissioned Army base in West Oakland. Under the plan, coal would travel from Utah to Oakland via train and then would be shipped overseas via boat. Supporters say the plan will protect jobs in Utah and bring new jobs to Oakland. Opponents are critical of the environmental costs and the legality of the deal. So where do you stand and what questions do you have about this deal? Joining me to talk about plans to export coal from Utah to Oakland are three guests. Darwin Bond Graham is a staff reporter with the East Bay Express, and he has been closely covering this issue. Hi, Darwin. Welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Nice to have you. We're also joined by Larry Kamer. He's a spokesperson for Oakland Global. That's a bulk commodity shipping terminal, warehouse, and rail complex that's now under construction on the former Oakland Army base. And Larry joins me in studio. Hi, Larry. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Rose.
Nice to have you. And Jessica Yarnall-Lori is a staff attorney with the Sierra Club. They oppose the plan to ship coal. Jessica focuses on mining, coal exports, and supporting rail infrastructure. And Jessica also joins me in studio.
Thanks.
Hi, Jessica.
For me.
Thank you for coming in. So, Darwin, I know we have to let you go in about 20 minutes. You have been extensively covering this, and I'd love for you to give us a little bit of background. So, Utah Governor Gary Herbert recently signed a bill that approves $53 million in public funds to help construct this coal export terminal. Can you talk a little bit about this? Why is Utah tapping into their public fund for a project that's out of state?
Well, that's something that a lot of people in Utah are actually questioning right now. The specific funds that the state is proposing to invest in the project come from they would come from the Department of Transportation, the Department of Transportation would be reimbursed by another state fund called the Community Impact Fund Board. That money comes from federal mineral lease revenues. So when oil and gas and coal companies do mining projects in rural Utah, some of the mineral lease revenues are paid to the federal government. The federal government then pays them to the state of Utah. The Community Impact Fund Board is supposed to use those revenues to pay for infrastructure upgrades and government services in rural Utah counties that are impacted by fossil fuel activities. That's the money in question that would be invested in the Oakland Marine Terminal.
And this was just recently passed. What is the time frame for this?
That's not really clear to me, because I think a lot of it hinges on whether or not private financing will be lined up for the Marine Terminal project. So basically what they've done is they've authorized the state of Utah to make this investment, but I think it has to be matched to private investment for it to actually end up resulting in a Marine Terminal being built.
And according to your reporting, Utah politicians were spending their last days in the legislature to make sure that this bill passed. Can you give us a little bit of background here? Who introduced this? What is what are the main arguments for it in Utah?
Yeah, Senator Adams is the one who introduced it. The main arguments in support of the legislation are that rural Utah, a lot of the economy out there depends on coal. There are a lot of jobs in coal mining and coal transportation. And so they want to support the economy in those regions The bill was introduced pretty late in the legislative session. It breezed through the Senate and the House and was signed quickly by the governor. If you actually look at any some sort of background to the bill here, is that there's a coal company in Utah called Bowie Resource Partners. They own the largest coal mines in Utah. They made $29,000 in campaign contributions to the governor and to key members of the Utah legislature in 2014 and 2015. That company never previously made any contributions to any Utah politicians. So they're, you know, that company's clearly making a political investment in the Oakland project here.
Darwin, supporters of the plan say this plan will create jobs and save jobs. Can you talk about that? Did you look into those claims? I mean, how many jobs are we talking about?
Yeah, no, I think those claims are legitimate. The Oakland Army Base is a vast project. It's 1,800 acres. It's being redeveloped into a state-of-the-art, logistics, shipping facility. You know, they've built a new rail line there. They're going to build huge warehouses. The marine terminal itself the bulk commodity export terminal will be a very significant investment. It's not clear to me how many jobs are created specifically building the marine terminal or operating the marine terminal. Perhaps that's a question better posed to Mr. Kamer.
Yes, Larry?
So it's about 12,000 jobs, and those are jobs that are already in place. People are already at the site working, putting in the infrastructure under the old Oakland Army base that is going to allow for construction of the Marine Terminal and other facilities. I do want to say that it is absolutely incorrect to refer to this as coal shipping or a coal terminal. The investment that Utah made was to ship Utah commodities, coal and other Utah commodities. And it's not that unusual. Wyoming has done the same thing. This is all along the same theory that we used to have in California for redevelopment, where you're taking the benefits of tax increment financing and using them to invest in infrastructure. Utah wants to promote its commodities. It's also a mistake to say...
On that point, though, yeah, because that's ahead. A really important one,
sure.
What other commodities are we talking about?
Potash, soda ash, other things that aren't nearly as sexy to talk about as coal. Let me just finish the sentence, Darwin. But which comprise the literally thousands of commodities that this terminal is being built to accommodate. So I want to make it really clear. Our facility, the bulk terminal that we're talking about, is commodity agnostic. We're not talking about building it for coal, as we're not talking about for building it for soda ash. We're talking about building it for any commodities that the marketplace will demand that will be shipped through Oakland and then on to other parts of the world.
Would you say no to any commodities, or is everything?
We can't. That's the problem. We are contractually obligated to the city of Oakland, and the city of Oakland is contractually obligated to build a bulk marine terminal. Bulk marine terminal. The details of the bulk marine terminal are well known to the city of Oakland. The existing bulk marine terminal that we used as an example and as a model is the terminal in Long Beach, which ships coal. About 30% of the throughput in California ports is coal. And, you know, we can debate the issues of global warming and coal and the change of in the energy mix, which is absolutely the legitimate debate. I'm not an expert on coal, and my job is not to defend coal. But what I am doing is telling you that this terminal has to be resilient, and it has to be able to adapt to the changes in the marketplace. We see lots of changes going on with coal now. We're not building a coal terminal. It would be foolish to build a coal terminal given what is going on with coal.
So you're saying we should not call this a coal terminal, and yet every article I've read has a headline that says coal terminal.
Right.
Darwin, what are your thoughts
on
that?
Shame on us for not getting
it. So there's a reason that journalists like myself refer to this as a coal terminal, and it's because there's a pretty deep paper trail in Utah in which an investment banker with the Bank of Montreal, who has been working with the coal company, Bowie Resource Partners, and with the Utah legislators who approved the $53 million investment in the terminal. This paper trail shows that it's the coal company Bowie Resource Partners, which actually owns Terminal Logistics Solutions, which is the company that will operate this marine terminal. And there was a term sheet that was obtained by the Sierra Club and by some journalists in a Public Records Act request that showed that the coal company Bowie would have had 49% starting throughput capacity at the terminal. Bowie only owns coal mines presently, and that company is aggressively investing in new coal mines. So there's a reason that we call it a proposed coal terminal. It's because the primary export product from the terminal would be coal.
Wrong.
They've worked very hard to talk about this as being a multi-commodity terminal, if I could interject for a minute.
Go ahead, Jessica.
We did send several public records requests, and you know, they indicated that they tried this. The message, the script was to talk about this as a multi-commodity terminal when, in fact, this was all about coal all along. I'll echo what Mr. Bon Graham just said, and that is that it seems that TLS, and maybe Mr. Kramer could speak to this, is owned in part by Bowie Resources. And, you know, last time I sat across the table from a representative of CCIG, they told us coal was not part of this terminal, and it appears that they were being very dishonest with us and with the city.
Before we get lost, CCIS?
CCIG. Sorry, California Capital Investment Group.
That's my client.
Mr. Tagami's company that is developing the coal terminal in Oakland.
Okay. Let's be clear with the words, because I'm already getting emails from listeners who say they didn't even know this was happening in Oakland.
We are so close to this. I think it's a good catch to have us all pull back and take a step back. So let me see if I can put some perspective on this. You take this if you go back to the conversion of the Oakland Army Base, right, back in 2008 when the city of Oakland began to look for partners and ideas for redeveloping that base and putting it back to productive use. The Oakland Army Base was a huge part of the Oakland economy, and its closure was a real economic blow to the city. So the city wisely started looking at ways to return it to productive use, to tax-generating use, to jobs. And over the course of that period from 2008 until now, has gone through an extremely extensive process in the public, hundreds of hearings, thousands of documents, all public, all available on our website, if you want to take a look, all available at City Hall. And a lot of things were considered, casinos, shopping malls, things that had no chance of really being durable economic job-producing facilities for Oakland. Oakland entered into an agreement with Oakland Global, my client, which is CCIG, one of the investors, to build this bulk commodity terminal. A bulk commodity terminal was thoroughly disclosed at the time of what products go through that terminal, including coal. In other words, our point is the city had its eyes wide open about what facilities were going to go through. The only thing that matters is what's been disclosed in the record, what people are willing to sign their name on, what's been said in the public. And there's nothing. In fact, we argue just the opposite, that the knowledge of coal as a potential has always been there. Let me just quibble with
and
one
I,
little.
I have to let Darwin go because he's
on
a really
sorry,
tight
Darwin.
Deadline.
Go ahead.
So Darwin, can you leave us with some final thoughts here? What is happening right now?
Well, right now I think it's all kind of up in the air. I mean, people are questioning whether the city council will act to block coal as a potential export commodity. There is a clause in the contract between the city and CCIG Oakland Global that says if there is a health and safety concern that the city has with the project, that they could potentially block that. I know that the CCIG, its attorneys have implied that they may sue if that is in fact the case, and then there are organizations, environmental and community organizations, that say that they might also file lawsuits if coal is approved. So I think at this point, everyone's kind of just waiting to see what the city of Oakland is going to do and whether any private parties will throw a wrench into this.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Darwin. I know you have to go. You're on deadline. That's Darwin Bond Graham. He's a staff reporter with the East Bay Express, and he is closely following this issue. You can find his reporting at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about plans to export coal from Utah to Oakland. In an attempt to save Utah's declining coal industry, the state approved a $53 million loan to build a commodity export terminal in West Oakland. Supporters say this will save jobs in Utah and create jobs in Oakland. Opponents say the plan will contribute to global warming and increase air pollution. They're also questioning the legality of the deal. We're joined by Larry Kamer, spokesperson for Oakland Global. It's a bulk commodity shipping terminal and complex. It's now under construction on the former Oakland Army base. Jessica Yarnall-Lori is a staff attorney with the Sierra Club. They oppose the plan to ship coal. She focuses on mining and coal exports. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. 8255. What questions or comments do you have about this? Where do you stand on this plan? You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. We're getting a few emails from listeners who say they didn't even know about this. Now, Larry said there were a lot of public meetings and transparency along the way. Can you talk about that, Jessica? What happened in terms of getting the public involved on this issue?
I would love to respond to that. This project, the full redevelopment of the Army base has actually been ongoing since the early 2000s. About 2002 is when they did the initial environmental analysis. There was no mention at all of any sort of bulk commodity terminal in the initial analysis. They did a supplemental analysis a little later on where they mentioned bulk. But in these piles of paperwork, not anywhere does it mention coal. And coal has a lot of specific health and safety threats to it. Coal is toxic. It contains arsenic, it contains mercury, it contains all sorts of elements that are hazardous to public health. Coal is also very dusty. Coal trains lose an average of 500 pounds of coal dust per rail car. There's 120 rail cars per train. That adds up to 60,000 pounds of coal dust that are lost between the mine site and the ultimate destination, the port. So that's quite a bit of a problem. And of course, there's the climate change aspect to this as well.
Well, so on that, 500 pounds of coal dust per car, how much coal is going to be shipped from Utah to Oakland on a regular basis?
You're speaking about something as if it's a certainty, and I want to make it clear. There is no deal to ship coal. There is no deal even with the terminal operator, although we expect we'll get a deal with them. So when the Sierra Club talks about things that are certain to happen, it must know things that we don't know and that our business partners don't know.
Well, it's being widely reported in the media.
It's being widely reported as fact, which to me needs to be examined closely. What I'm saying is there's no deal, and it's not a coal terminal. You can't build a single commodity terminal and hope to fulfill your promise that we've made to the city of Oakland to generate this kind of employment income, this kind of jobs, and this kind of tax revenue that goes to Oakland City Services. A single commodity terminal doesn't work.
I understand what you're saying, because in the Utah press to the Oakland press to KQED, they are consistently reporting about the fact that coal will be shipped from Utah.
Have you seen these public records where your client is talking about coal and is talking to folks in Utah?
Can we please
not
talk over each other?
That because it appears in the media doesn't make it true.
Well,
now what I'm saying.
So you're saying that coal will not be shipped from Utah?
That is not what I'm saying.
Okay, so what
What I'm saying is that there's no deal. The market changes. The very foundation of this. Of this terminal, of this facility, is based on being accommodating a wide variety of commodities. I'm not denying that coal hasn't been talked about. Of course it's been talked about. But to suggest that there's some – that after 251 hearings, 51 city council meetings, tens of thousands of documents, lots of questions, lots of commitments that we've made – that somehow somebody has played hide the ball with one particular commodity It's ludicrous, but and it makes no business sense.
You have the Republican state senator, Stuart Adams, in Utah, who introduced this legislation,
right,
say that Utah has the cleanest coal on the planet. You actually may be improving the environment by allowing this. I have no idea where he got that information because it's false. But even he's talking about exporting coal
right,
from Utah to Oakland.
But I'm not here to defend coal, and I'm not here to talk about coal. I'm here to talk about this terminal and what the terminal is being built for.
Is there a plan, though, to ship coal from Utah to Oakland?
No.
But is it in the works?
It's there. You've got a facility that is not going to be online for a couple of years where we are trying to figure out what commodities can be shipped through it. Is coal one of those commodities? Yeah. It's 30% of what's going through California ports right now. The other thing I think it's important to point out, you know, I can't pretend to know what the Sierra Club knows about coal and coal trains. But what I do know is we have 660 separate mitigation matters, air mitigation matters. Our coal trains and any other commodity trains are going to be covered. So what Jessica is talking about, I have no idea how that applies here. We're not talking about 120 long car trains speeding through the prairies of Montana. We're talking about coal trains that are going into an enclosed facility, fully covered, extraordinary protection for our workers once inside, extensive air monitoring.
All right, well, let's get to the root of the issue here, Jessica. Larry says that coal is not – it's not a done deal, that coal
right,
is definitely not going to be shipped from Utah to Oakland, or it might not be.
That's right.
This doesn't really comport with the documents that we were able to uncover. It does comport with the PR script we saw in these documents. The script is to downplay coal as part of this project. And I guess Mr. Kramer seems to be taking this line. We do know that – I don't know. You tell me. Have you signed the deal with TLS yet? I think
no,
that's
TLS
one of our
has
questions.
An option, and we expect to.
And what is TLS?
TLS is the
Logistics
terminal operator.
Services. They would be one of the terminal operators. That's directly owned by Bowie Resource Partners, as Mr. Bon Graham talked about. And so, you know, I think the script is to downplay coal, but we sent
script,
a lot of public
truth.
Records requests to find out more about this project. And, you know, they have been very careful in not talking about coal. None of these public meetings, none of these conditions on this project discuss coal. And as I mentioned, there are serious health and safety
Jessica,
concerns.
Jessica, you know, there's never been a list.
Let's let Jessica finish her thought,
I'm
because
sorry.
You've had time to talk.
Yes,
you've had a lot
okay,
of time to
you.
Talk.
My
Mr.
bad.
King.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So, you know, I think they haven't been honest with City Council. They haven't been honest with the public about this prospect. And as I said, Mr. Tagami sat down with us and in a newsletter to residents of Oakland said CCIG is publicly on record as having no interest or involvement in the pursuit of coal-related operations at the former Oakland Army base. And yet here we are. There's $53 million coming from Utah with the purpose of saving or the purpose of shipping coal through this terminal. So we just want to see CCIG and Mr. Tagami live up to the promises they made and build an export terminal that provides good jobs and ships commodities like agricultural commodities like they talked about in their applications for public funding or wind turbines. Those commodities don't pose a risk to health and safety. And, you know, Oakland needs these jobs. We acknowledge that, and we support the construction of this terminal as long as it won't ship coal. The city's struggling with high unemployment. Even the ILWU, the longshoremen who would be handling the products on this dock, this is a union that represents the workers who gets these jobs. They oppose coal exports as part of this terminal. We stand with the community here. There have been partners like West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, Communities for a Better Environment, APEN, SEIU, Earth Justice, Baykeeper. I mean, 76% of Oakland residents who oppose shipping coal through this terminal.
In your poll?
It was a poll that was commissioned, yes, by the Sierra Club, but it was still a poll of Oakland residents and voters. And so, we stand clear in our position here, and I think I'm getting a little confused. Will you commit
As
to not
we.
Ship coal today?
No, of course not.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. According to the Salt
Nor
Lake,
have we ever made
according,
that commitment.
Excuse me. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, a piece that was written on March 10th, Utah legislature okays $53 million cash swap to fund Oakland coal port. So according to headlines, according to every media report, coal will be shipped from Utah to Oakland. And that's what we're talking about today. What questions do you have about this plan? We are joined by Larry Kamer. He's a spokesperson for Oakland Global, a bulk commodity shipping terminal and rail complex that's now under construction on the former Oakland Army base. Jessica Yarnall-Laurie is a staff attorney with the Sierra Club. They oppose the plan to specifically ship coal from Utah to Oakland. This is your call. We'll be back after this.
is your call on Local Public Radio to join in today's conversation. The toll-free number, 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255. If you'd prefer to write your question via email, the address is feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you can just leave your message or question on the website, yourcallradio.org. Coming up in 30 minutes from the BBC, World Have Your Say. Following that at 1 o'clock, pardon me, following that at noon today, it's This American Life with Ira Glass, here on KALW San Francisco Local Public Radio.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about voter fraud across the country. Last week, Arizona residents were still waiting in line at midnight to cast their vote. Some people waited more than 5 hours in line. Officials in Maricopa County, the largest county in Arizona, reduced the number of polling places from 200 to 60. We have seen voting irregularities across the country. So why is this happening, and how can we ensure voter suppression does not happen in November? Next week, we are doing a week-long series on toxins. We're going to be talking about chemicals in our homes, chemicals in the fields. We're going to talk about chemicals in our body products. So if you have any comments about toxins and chemicals, we hope you can tune in next week. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about legislation that was recently signed by Utah Governor Gary Herbert. It approves $53 million in public funds to help construct a terminal in West Oakland that will be, according to many, exporting coal from Utah to Oakland, and then it will travel on overseas. And we're talking about this with Larry Kamer, a spokesperson for Oakland Global. That's the bulk commodity shipping terminal that is under construction on the former Oakland Army base. And Jessica Yarnall-Lori is a staff attorney with the Sierra Club. They oppose the plan to ship coal. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Matt in Utah. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Matt Pachenza. I'm the executive director of an environmental group in Salt Lake City called Heal Utah. And I just wanted folks to understand a few things. And first of all, it's that there is considerable opposition to this deal from within the state of Utah as well. Certainly when we read all of the results of the record requests from journalists and from folks at the Sierra Club, it's quite clear that, you know, this was a proposal that everyone did their darndest to not say what it was really about until the last minute. Another relevant fact is that the bill surfaced in the Utah legislature literally on the last day it possibly could. And so I think anytime you're trying to kind of cook something in the dark and not let folks know about it, it is natural to have some pretty serious suspicions. And certainly we see the kind of shifting of all these pots of money as certainly kind of a shell game designed to, you know, kind of bypass reasonable legal restrictions on where this funding should go. So we're concerned about it, and I think the reasons are probably pretty obvious that, you know, climate change is a huge concern. And if we're actually serious about trying to prevent the worst effects of it, you know, we really cannot continue to burn coal for electricity. And, you know, groups like the Sierra Club and like HEAL are doing all we can domestically to try to, you know, push utilities and governments to transition away as quickly as possible. And to think that at the same time we would be spending, you know, precious public dollars on a scheme that whose architects are doing their darndest to try to hide it from us, to take that very same coal and send it to China or Japan or wherever it may be in order to burn it there for electricity. I mean, it's just an appalling misuse of public funds and a dreadful idea.
And Matt, stay on the line. I just want to ask Larry about your first point. Matt from Utah says that this process was not very transparent on his side.
I have no idea about the Utah process because the Utah funding would affect TLS, which is the terminal operator. It is not going to fund the terminal. This terminal will move forward with or without that funding. TLS is trying to line up commodities and market its facilities, which is what their job is. If Utah chooses to do it and it's controversial in Utah, it's a fair question for people in Utah to go after it. The real question is, we're talking about $53 million of Utah money and missing the point of the $1 billion that's going to be spent rebuilding the Oakland Army base, of which this project is committed, leases are signed, and it's been fully disclosed. So by continuing to focus on this asterisk of $53 million, we do a great disservice to the $1 billion that Oakland needs and that this project will provide for jobs, for taxes, and for revenues.
And
we can talk
Jessica,
about coal all day long, but well, with Jessica, or without coal, this project moves forward.
How would you respond to what Matt said about transparency?
This project hasn't been transparent at all, and I actually wanted to ask Mr. Kramer a question because CCIG was in Utah appearing before the Community Impact Board asking for this funding. And so you're disclaiming any role in getting Utah funds for this project to ship coal?
You're making much about a public meeting that Mark McClure attended on the public record. That's the reason we all know about it. Doing his job of going out around the country and talking about this project.
Seeking Where's the money gotcha? To ship coal.
Where's the gotcha? The gotcha. I mean, you're making this out like these public record requests couldn't have been gotten directly. You're talking about that the city council and city staff don't know this, that they don't know about the mix of coal in this. I think your beef.
Coal wasn't discussed anywhere in these documents.
Beef, nor was it not discussed anywhere in these documents. There's no list of what was on and off. You know, and city staff know what Wharf G ships. You know, and city staff know that 30% of what goes through California's ports right now is coal. And you know, and everybody else knows that there are open coal cars going through Oakland right now. Where's your outrage about that?
There's a declining coal shipments going through all of the U.S. West Coast. 42
coal
companies have declared bankruptcy.
Larry, can we please not cut each other off? Go ahead, Jessica.
Coal shipments are declining because there's no market for coal internationally anymore.
But you deny that they're there.
I'm sorry?
You deny that there's coal going through Oakland right now?
There's no coal going through Oakland right now, so far as we're aware. The usual routes for coal would be going through. It was a one-time incident where coal got backed up on a track through Oakland. Coal moves through the northern part of California, and a small amount of it. This terminal would be 9 to 10 million tons of coal per year. That's the equivalent of 7 average-sized power plants.
And where are you getting that number?
Carbon. She's making it up.
No, the terminal capacity for this terminal is 9 to 10 million tons. And so because we can't believe anything we hear from these folks anymore, there's no reason to believe that the entire terminal isn't purposed to be coal. And so that's where you get that number.
9 to 10 million tons per...
Per year.
Per year.
That's like the equivalent for carbon of 7 average-sized power plants in a state like California that burns no coal. That is a significant concern for California's climate leadership. In addition to the coal dust concerns we have and the other local health and safety concerns we have for West Oakland residents, West Oakland should not be a sacrifice zone because Utah legislators want to send their coal through West Oakland in particular, or you know, be the place where folks are making a lot of money that aren't the folks that live in the community. I'm not sure who stands to profit off this deal. I mean, this project needs a lot of financing. My understanding is it will cost $275 million to build this bulk terminal.
$250.
Okay, $250 million. So where is your private investment coming from? Are these private pension funds who will be relying on a risky coal market moving forward?
Look, you know, let's take a step back, and I'll say what I've said before that you seem unwilling to hear, which is that this terminal is not about coal. Your numbers of 10 million are wrong. You're casting aspersions on the trustworthiness of the organization that the city of Oakland has partnered with contractually, has vested rights in, has had at more than 50 city council hearings, has been briefed hundreds of times, has submitted thousands of documents. If the Sierra Club were to be believed, this fairy tale, you'd think that this was somehow coming out of thin air. And the thick cloud that we have to worry about is the thick cloud of misinformation that you guys are putting out. The Sierra Club had the opportunity to do
I'm just going to jump in here for a minute.
Sure.
Matt from Utah Heel is still on the line. Matt, we're hearing from Larry that there's no guarantee coal will travel from Utah to Oakland. Can you talk about what happened in the legislature? Were politicians talking about coal? How do you see it on your end from Utah?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the four counties that are the ones that have, you know, will be directing this funding, they're the four counties where coal mining happens. there wasn't really any illusion in Utah. This is very clearly a bid for Utah to prop up its failing coal industry. There wasn't much debate there. I'd also like to just address the issue of transparency, that there's a key figure at the heart of this deal named Jeffrey Holt, who was formerly the head of our Utah Transportation Commission, also has an invested interest in it via something called the Bank of Montreal. You know, the LA Times put out some records requests, and Mr. Holt sent talking points to the county commissioners in Utah, urging them to not mention coal, even though, of course, explicitly it was going to be part of the deal. And one of the lines in one of those emails said, "Less press is best. Controlled message is critical." So, you know, there was an order sent out to everyone involved on the Utah side to de-emphasize coal. They grudgingly obliged. But then when it came to the Utah legislature, you know, out in the public, it was very much openly a conversation about, are we going to invest public money into propping up this industry? And, you know, the legislature, a conservative Republican legislature, is very much pro-fossil fuels, pro-resource extraction, and is determined to defend that. And so they, you know, acted on those interests. But there's no illusion from this end. We know what this is. This is a, you know, a bid to spend public money on a terminal that would ship coal out. I'm not going to wade into the Oakland side of that debate, but I should say that no one over here is fooling themselves.
Well, thank you for calling in, Matt. That is Matt with Utah Heel. So he says there's no illusions on the Utah side. They know, based on what they're hearing from politicians, that coal will be shipped from Utah to Oakland.
We can't be so easily dismissive of what's going on the Oakland side as he can. And you have to go back to the very premise and the construction of this facility and what's been promised to the city of Oakland by my client and their partners. You know, we're talking about part of a $1 billion redevelopment of the Oakland Army Base. You're talking about 12,000 jobs being generated and all the buying power and taxes that that throws off. You're talking about productive use, taxes going to City of Oakland, services, police, fire, and so on that are not being generated now.
Are these going to be 12,000 new jobs?
Correct.
And where is that info coming from?
That is publicly disclosed information. We are required to disclose information about hiring. We have the most aggressive, ambitious hiring program for a publicly funded project, we think, that's ever been done in Oakland, maybe in California.
We're getting a few emails about the 12,000 job number. Jessica?
The job figures are certainly contested. I believe that figure is actually for the entire Army base. This is right. Not specific to the full coal terminal. And like we said, I mean, we support the building of a bulk terminal that ships the commodities that they promised, agricultural commodities and wind turbines. Those commodities don't pose a risk to health and safety, and they come with jobs, sometimes even more jobs, since bulk break commodities like wind turbines actually require more employees than a bulk commodity
and they will be shipped.
That does itself. So
this is why
ILWU, the longshoremen who would be handling the commodities at the terminal, do not support coal being part of this project. Coal from Utah actually has elevated silica content as well, and that's the substance that actually causes more lung problems in workers that are close to the coal.
Well, we have full lines, and I want to make sure we get to as many as we can. That is Jessica Yarnall-Laurie, staff attorney with the Sierra Club. They oppose the plan to ship coal from Utah to Oakland. Larry Kamer is a spokesperson with Oakland Global, the bulk commodity shipping terminal that's now under construction on the former Oakland Army base. And let's hear from Craig in San Francisco.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on the call, although it is disturbing to hear the dancing that's going on here about the issue of coal. I just want to make it clear, as a spokesperson for the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, that the members of the Bay Area locals have made a clear decision to oppose any coal operation at the bulk terminal. They are supporting a bulk terminal, but not with coal. And that's been clear for quite a while. Members and leaders have been participating in the hearings and the debates over the coal terminal. They've made their position very clear. And there's really no middle ground here when it comes to this coal issue. The union is strongly opposed, wants to make that position clear and public. And, you know, a bulk terminal that handles sand, gravel, other commodities, fine, but not coal.
And so, Craig, what happens if coal will be shipped from Utah to Oakland? Then what will the union do?
Well, there is not going to be any coal. This is outrageous that they're trying to sneak this in the back door. members of the ILWU were part of the early talks and early negotiations and were personally assured by the developer that coal was not going to be part of this deal. And they have deliberately, intentionally, and wrongly misled people who worked with them in good faith. And they were double-crossed and lied to, and it is... It's a travesty what's happening here, and I don't think the people, the citizens of Oakland and the Bay Area community is going to put up with this.
And the Construction Trades Union failed to join with the Sierra Club in its CEQA lawsuit that it pulled because a judge was about to throw it out to stop this project. Look, unions don't speak with one voice. Unions speak with a lot of voices in the Bay Area. Union politics are really important. Got nothing but the highest regard for our union partners. We've had extensive conversations. I think it's telling that the Sierra Club's arguments focus so much on personal attacks against the developer and against claims of transparency when, in fact, the record is the record.
What would you say to Craig, though, who's with the ILWU, and you just heard their stance on this?
Right. So there's this hearsay conversation about a developer making promises about coal. And in fact, at the time he was talking about it, coal was not on the table. He was talking to another potential partner about another set of products. So yeah, there wasn't coal in the mix at the time. That doesn't mean coal was forever off the list. It doesn't mean it's forever on the list.
We have a number of emails from listeners who say if coal isn't the issue, then why not just agree not to ship it?
Because we can't. We can't. There are federal laws that do not allow cities to intervene in local, in cross-state shipments, well established. It's the same law that protects an Oakland business from shipping his or her product to another state without getting involved in a trade war. And secondly, there are contracts, commitments, and hearings that have aired these issues over the last 7 years.
So who ultimately makes the decisions here, whether or not to ship coal?
The market.
The city of Oakland has this health and safety process that's undertaking right now under the terms of this contract, where it did take evidence back in September of this year about, you know, whether health and whether coal poses a health and safety risk. And so they do have the opportunity to weigh in and to say that they don't want this to be shipped through the terminal because of the risks that it poses to West Oakland residents. So, you know, we're hopeful that they will act and that they will act soon. You know, I would ask, you know, I guess in terms of the other issues, this terminal is being built on City of Oakland land with California's taxpayer dollars. They're Proposition 1B taxpayer
terminals
funds
privately funded
that are supposed to be part of this project. Part of this project and the rail that goes to it is funded by Proposition 1B funds, which mm-hmm. are funds meant to improve air quality.
Mm-hmm.
You can't build a coal terminal with public funds that are intended to improve air quality.
Well, then explain to me why the state of California and the Alameda County Transportation Commission and ultimately the federal government through Tiger funds to the Port of Oakland have already committed to and advanced what will become $1 billion in investment. Were they deceived? Did they not think to ask about coal?
Your application to the California Transportation Commission referenced agricultural commodities and wind turbines. Nowhere in those documents do you discuss coal. And so, yes,
do we
say
in those documents there will be no coal?
I don't think you were clear about your intentions for this terminal. And again,
listen,
Proposition 1B funds cannot be used to make air quality worse by shipping coal.
Both you'd have coal to take dust that up with the ACTC.
And the climate change impacts. ACTC is another issue, and our position there is also clear. You can't be using Alameda County transportation funds to also be shipping coal through
this
terminal.
What I find interesting about this discussion is I understand that there are lots of things lots of laws that you would like to exist, lots of policies that you would like to exist. We have to deal with the laws, the policies, the contracts, and the commitments that do exist. Coal's a legal substance. It's not on the Prop 65 list. It's legal to be shipped, and the Obama administration says it's safe to be shipped by rail in the Tongue River EIS, which is available on our website. We can debate whether we want to have coal in the energy mix, and that's a fair debate, but it has nothing to do with the Oakland Global project. If we listen to the Sierra Club, and if we take guidance from them on how we should move forward, if we undo the CEQA document, if we renege on commitments and contracts that have already been signed, workers that have already been hired. That puts $1 billion of funding into an Oakland project at risk, and you know that.
Jessica?
And you dropped your lawsuit that would have undone the CEQA document because you knew you didn't have the goods.
Not at all. We did file a CEQA case that we voluntarily dismissed and can be refiled at any time.
The judge was going to
because
throw
the city of Oakland is undergoing a health and safety process, and rather than be adverse to the city, we'd rather work with them. Our position is very clear. Coal cannot be shipped through Oakland without an additional CEQA analysis. So let's get that out of the way. The Obama administration has not condoned shipping of coal in any way.
I didn't say
the Tongue
it,
River Railroad project is now dead because Arch Coal went bankrupt. And so those documents are, you know, they didn't even respond to our comments
say.
On the issue. Excuse me, if you let me finish talking,
go
Mr.
ahead.
Kramer, I'd really appreciate it.
Kramer.
I'm sorry. Coal isn't on the Prop 65 list, but every element that coal contains is. That would be arsenic, that would be mercury. And combustion coal is also on that list. There are plenty of health and safety dangers that are associated with coal. And that's why communities up and down the West Coast are taking a stance against coal. That's, you know, Portland. The Port of Oakland saw this exact same project come to it at the Howard Terminal, and they denied this project because of health and safety and also economic concerns. The coal industry is going bankrupt right and left. There is not a market for this commodity. And so it begs the question as well, who's on the hook for when this terminal goes belly up in a few years, like what happened at the Port of Portland and the Port of Los Angeles?
So what you
taxpayers lost money. No, we don't. That's why we don't want you to ship coal through this terminal. This terminal is much more economically viable if you make the promise you made to people already, which was to not ship coal.
You must know something we don't.
I want to thank Craig for calling in, and I want to make sure that we get a call in about health concerns in West Oakland. So let's go next to Denny in Oakland. Hi, Denny.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to point out that the environmental organization that I used to head, the Global Community Monitor, did a study of air quality, thanks to the Sierra Club and their funding, in Resurrection Bay, Alaska. And you can get that online at the gcmonitor.org site. And yeah, we found silica, we found heavy metals, we found dangerous levels of pollutants coming off a coal export facility. And I would offer to Mr. Kramer, as well as you, Rose, I will lead both of you, and Jessica if she wants to come, on a tour of the Port of Richmond. And you can see what a mess it is when you let coal and pet coke and all kinds of garbage in the door. So the terminal is fine, but products like that cannot be allowed to be shipped.
So tell us, Denny, what have you found in Richmond for those of us who might not ever see it?
Well, when you drive through the Port of Richmond, you'd come off 580 after you would be headed toward the San Rafael Bridge. And when you turn down the road there, you will see piles of petroleum coke that the vendors are hiding behind shipping containers. You will see petroleum coke. You will see coal on occasion. You will see mountains of scrap metal containing all kinds of heavy metals. You'll see trees. You'll see what they call aggregate. Aggregate is like crushed cement. So there's a lot to be worried about if there are not strict health and safety enforcement about what comes through the terminal. You can't even imagine the kind of junk. Every time I go down there, I see something I never saw before all piled up.
And what does this do for health concerns for people, especially in West Oakland?
Well, you know, West Oakland is a environmental justice community that was burdened by lead from the freeways for years. And, you know, there it's called a care community by the Air District already. They've deployed massive amounts of air monitoring because of the amounts of diesel and other things that are generated from the port. And so, yeah, I mean, the air quality in Oakland has been deemed by the EPA and the Air District to mean that you will die 10 years before you would normally die if you lived in San Francisco or somewhere else. So that's real. And to think that we could add another burden onto those people, that's unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable. But I'd love to leave you on a tour, Mr. Kramer and Rose. I'd like to show you what it looks like when you open up a bulk terminal and you don't ban stuff that's going to, you know, make people die 10 years earlier than they should.
And I'll return the favor and bring you out to the site and show you the fully contained cars, the fully enclosed facility, the air quality mitigation. Look,
So are, no you, are argument, you saying what's happening in Richmond will not happen in Oakland?
Exactly.
How?
We're building a state-of-the-art facility with the latest technology, heavy air quality scrutiny from the AQMD, commitments in writing for more than 600 air quality mitigations, extraordinary protections for our workers, and I think the most important point, and this is where I agree with the caller, the biggest problem affecting air in West Oakland is diesel. It's traffic. I mean, the simple solution would be, could we take down 880? Well, no, we can't.
Well, but there are, I mean, you have to admit, right? There are very real concerns about coal.
Absolutely.
All right, so Jessica, we only have a minute left. Okay.
Take the diesel trucks off the road. That's what we'll do.
To his point that this is going to be clean and they are taking precautions to ensure that what is happening in Richmond will not happen in Oakland, what's your response?
Well, first and foremost, West Oakland's environmental justice community, these would be cumulative impacts on top of a community that's already suffering. That doesn't make it right to build a dirty coal terminal there. The developers made a lot of empty promises so far, and I'm just not sure we can believe these commitments. Covered coal cars have not been utilized anywhere in the U.S. They're still in testing phase. Oakland shouldn't be a guinea pig. It's not even clear they can provide these. Their own documents talk about using a coal topping agent called surfactants instead. That's kind of the equivalent of coal hairspray, essentially.
Coal dust still comes off. No, covers.
Covered trains don't exist. They're not used anywhere in the world right now.
They're in testing phase, and it's something that requires a federal body to weigh in.
And it's not even clear they can make this
even
promise.
When you get what
it doesn't
you want.
Also resolve it doesn't resolve the other problems with this terminal, the climate change impacts, the that West Oakland residents would be disproportionately suffering from asthma, and that coal dust would contribute to that. It's also the water use required to keep down coal dust. California is in the middle of a drought, and this requires a lot of water to keep the coal dust down. There's just all sorts of this project, all sides of this project that don't make sense. And these impacts have never been fully discussed because the environmental review documents don't talk about coal and it comes with special hazards.
What's next on this?
The Oakland City Council is hopefully concluding its health and safety process in the next few months, and so we look forward to having Oakland residents and others urge the council to act as quickly as possible.
Jessica Yarnall-Laurie is a staff attorney with the Sierra Club. They oppose the plan to ship coal from Utah to Oakland. Larry Kamer is a spokesperson for Oakland Global, a bulk commodity shipping terminal and rail complex that's now under construction on the former Oakland Army base. Find more information about this issue at yourcallradio.org. Jessica and Larry, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, we'll discuss voter fraud across the country. Last week, Arizona residents were still waiting in line at midnight to cast their vote. Some waited for more than 5 hours. Officials in Maricopa County, the largest county in the state, reduced the number of polling places from more than 200 to 60 to save money. Voting irregularities have also been reported in other states. How can we ensure voter suppression does not happen in November? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show. Malihe Razazan is senior producer. Matt Martin is executive producer. And Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.